I think it's so important that I don't go over my time, particularly as the children are in here. And of those children who were up here, I've got one question for you, and I don't know if any of you can answer this. So those children that were sitting up the front, put your hand up if any of you know who the Prime Minister is. Yes. Gordon Brown. Not right. It's not as easy as it used to be, actually. But there is a Prime Minister. Yes. David Cameron. Thank you. Thank you. And we don't want to talk about him too much today, but seeing as I chose this title of God's Intercoalition, I thought I ought to mention him. Actually, the more I looked into what coalition meant, the less better this analogy became that I wanted to talk about. And I want to talk about that thing that Dan left us with, that we cannot make it on our own. And Dan was talking about the importance of being together and doing things together. And I want to talk about another partnership, which is so important and vital. I actually chose this title, so I take all responsibility if it doesn't quite match up. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but the more I looked into it, as I said, as an analogy, it broke down. So if you've been brought here on false pretenses and you think I'm going to talk about coalition, you have my full permission to leave, because I'm not really going to talk about Mr. Cameron and Mr. Clegg, although I might mention them a few times because there are a few parallels. The dictionary meaning of coalition is an alliance among individuals during which they cooperate in joint action. So far, so good. Perhaps I can ask a question to the adults. There's no tricks. Why have we got a coalition in government at the moment? You're not an adult. So nobody knows in this room why we've got a coalition. Can anybody help me here? Yes. Because we're not all of the same mind, partly. It's much, I'm a little, much more simple answer. Sue. No one person got enough votes. That's why we've got a coalition. No one actually, out of the three candidates, Gordon Brown, David Cameron, and... Thank you. I got Clegg. I couldn't get Nicholas. I thought, Nick Clegg. Nick Clegg. None of them got enough votes to run this country the way we run it. So, in fact, each one of them failed in their pursuit of becoming Prime Minister. And as a result of that, they had to join forces with one of the others. So there we have a coalition, and a coalition government is when individuals get together, as I said earlier, and cooperate to form a government. So the parallel here is that just like they failed, just like they didn't match up, just like they needed help, do you know what? In our own lives, so do we. And sometimes people don't hear what the Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches, one of its simple truths is this, is that we don't match up. Actually, we need help. It says in the Bible that actually we've all failed and we didn't make God's standard, so we needed help. The politicians failed, they didn't meet the required standard, and they needed some help to form what was eventually a government. And in God's eyes, every one of us has failed, and we need help to get back to the standard, which is God's standard, in our lives. And that's a little bit about what I want to talk about. The Bible says that we've all failed, and you know, that includes me, that includes the Archbishop of Canterbury, that includes the Pope, that includes David Beckham, that includes Osama bin Laden. Every one of us has failed. You know, there's not sort of some people that made it and some people that didn't. The Bible is a great leveller. It makes us all failures. Well, that's a great start, John. It tells us in the sight of God also that we're all equal. So if we've all failed, we've all equally failed. And we have the same failures, you know. And it's called sin. And some of us don't like talking about sin, but it's there. It doesn't really matter what sin it is. Somebody said to me once, I saw him do this in a room, he said, if we measure our standard by somebody else's, we might think we're a little bit above them. We're not as bad as them. If we measure our standard maybe with a murderer, he's down there and we're up here, so we're a little better than them. And then he said, but the standard we should measure with is God's standard. And if a murderer's there, And we're sort of here, and the church leader is probably a little bit up there. God is somewhere out of that universe. It's somewhere where we can't even, it is so high, we can't see it. So how on earth would God ever expect us to attain that standard? It's no wonder we've all failed, because the smallest little sin, whatever it is, makes us fail. And so there's no way. So we, like David Cameron and the others, failed, and we need some help. The penalty in the Bible for every failure, whether it's a big one, or a little one, or a tiny one, is the same. Again, great level of the Bible. The penalty for stealing a little pencil at work, or being Adolf Hitler or Osama bin Laden, is the same. The penalty is death. That's what the Bible says. The penalty is death. And if any of you thinks you're not going to die, I'd like to know how. Because some people have spent their whole generations trying to find a way for immortal life, eternal life. Everybody wants that. They all want to live a bit longer, and our nation at the moment is trying to live longer and longer and longer, giving us lots of problems because we've got lots of old people. But we're all trying to live longer. It does. You ask the health service. The problem is there's too many people alive living longer, need a lot of help, and we're making them live even longer. But we've always tried to do that. There's survival. There's something in us that wants to survive. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God's thoughts are a bit different. And he says sin is what makes you die. And when you die, what happens afterwards? And you might think, we don't really want to talk about the eternal thing. We don't want to know what happens afterwards. We'd rather not know. But you know, the Bible teaches very clearly. After you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. That's very simple. It's one or the other. One is a great place, like this American guy so fluently was saying about all the goodness and all the good things. And the other is the bad place where all the bad things happen. I used to have friends at school that said, "Ha, John, I don't care, mate. I'm going to hell where all my mates will be. It's going to be great there." And now my heart hurts for them, because that is so ignorant. That is an ignorant thing to say, because we don't know what hell's like. We don't even know what heaven's like. But we know one's good and one's bad. And we don't like to talk about these things because we don't really believe in them. But if they're truth, somebody said, "Well, that's true for you, that's okay." If it's true for me, it's true for you too. I live in the same world as you. And so if it's true, we need to face up to that. And we have this problem that we can't measure up to God. So David Cameron, what he did was he got alongside one of the others before the other one did it, formed something that would work, and then said, "Right, now I'm ready to do it." And you know, somebody has come alongside for us, but it wasn't Nick Clegg or Gordon Brown. Actually, Jesus came alongside for us. And he said to us, God said, "Look, you're in a state, here's the answer to the problem. You deserve to die. Actually, I'm going to send Jesus to die on your behalf, so you don't have to." So, although God has this fantastic standard that we can't reach, he said, if you join up with my son Jesus, if you believe in what he did, you can reach the standard. It's as simple as that. It says in the Bible, you know, I call this the football verse, partly because there was one famous World Cup, I don't know when it was, but for the final, this verse was plastered right across the billboards. I don't know who did it, and it was in English. And it said this, and it's in the Bible, and it says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have eternal life." So for all these people who want to live a bit longer, I've got a little secret. You want to have a long, eternal life? Believe in Jesus. Simple as that. Well, you might say, "I don't believe that." Well, that's your choice. That's all of our choices, whether we believe it or not. But that's what God says. You know, the first bit there, I just want to talk about for a minute. God so loved the world. The world is you, the world is me. I'm in this world, so I'm part of it. And when God says, "I love the world," he's saying, "I love you. I so loved you, he so loved me, that he made the answer to this problem we have of not reaching his standard. He said, I so loved you, I gave my son Jesus to die on a cross, so now your penalty isn't death, but you can have life." And that's what he did. And that's what he did for us. And so many of us want to find other ways. You know, Gordon Brown or Nick Clegg, they could have gone to each other, they could have tried and gone to minority parties, they could have tried to do other ways. But there was only one way that they could do it eventually, because they needed the votes. And you know, there's so many other ways we try and find life. Or we block it out and try and make us not think about it. But there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches us. It is the only way. Jesus died to take the penalty we deserved, and instead of eternal separation, we get eternal life. You know, eternal separation is hell, eternal life is heaven. The analogy breaks down again, because in coalition, it's a temporary solution. God doesn't offer a temporary solution, because he mentions eternal, forever. His solution is forever, and it's simple and it's easy, and it doesn't depend on a country really liking what you do, because God loved the world and he loves us. David Cameron needed to seize the initiative. I don't know if you noticed when when the elections had been counted, the votes had been counted, he suddenly hived himself off with all his cabinet, and he was intent, any way he could, to be Prime Minister. He had to eventually involve Nick Clegg, and they had to do it that way. And you know, there has to be a bit of intent on our part. God didn't make you with a robot mind that just tunes you in and makes you do the right thing. Actually, he gave us a choice. And God gives us a choice. You know, I was going to do this rope thing with Jim. One of the terminologies I could use is God throws us a rope, but you've got to catch it. You know, if Jim let go of that rope, it could have been disastrous, actually. And I was a bit worried the one on the end might have gone careering into the wall and we'd had health and safety here and everything else, but he didn't. He let them off slowly, didn't you, Jim? But if we don't catch that rope that God throws us, it's up to us. He throws us a rope. He says, my son died for you, Jesus. There's the rope. You catch it. You get hold of it and you get eternal life. Now we need to grab that rope by believing in him and giving our life to him. And you think, well, what have I got to offer God? Well, actually, this is where the analogy breaks down again, because very little. He's got everything to offer us. All I've got to offer him, all I ever had to offer him, was this life, which wasn't particularly fantastic. In fact, was in a little bit of a mess. So I offered it to him, and he changed it and made it a good life. And everything good that is in my life has come from God. So we have to respond in that way and catch the rope. And God's throwing out a rope today. And maybe you've never heard this before, but God is throwing you a rope. This isn't for churchy people. It is for churchy people, but it's for unchurched people. Because God loves the whole world. God loves you just as much as he loves the Archbishop of Canterbury or the Pope. They're not special in his love. His love is equal for everybody. So I want us to, in closing, I'd like us to stand together, and Rob's going to come up, I believe, and we're going to have a song to finish with. But I'd like us to stand together, and I'd like you to repeat a prayer with me. And I'd like you to say this prayer, whether you're a Christian, whether you know you are, even if you don't, I want us to say this prayer together, because it's always good to ask God and recommit our lives to him. So shall we stand together? I'm going to say it, and then after I've said it, we'll say it together. I'm going to say it word by word, and then we're going to have a song together, and Andy's going to close. So if you're ready, let's stand and let's pray it together. Father God, Father God, thank you that you love me. In fact, you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the penalty for my wrongdoings. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive everything I have done. I take my life as it is today and give it to you in return for your eternal life. Help me to live no longer for myself, but for you. Amen. And maybe that's the first time you've ever prayed a prayer like that. And if that's the case and you meant that, I want you to tell the person that you came with. I want you to have a chat with the person you came with. If you didn't come with anyone, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about what you just prayed. Thank you.